Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello and Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Kedushin Daf Samach Beis. We are holding four lines from the top of the Amud Bishleima. We're right in the midst of the Sugya of Tanai Kofel, which we began yesterday. We're according to Rabbi Meir, in order for a Tanai to take hold and be binding, one has to actually duplicate and repeat that condition. He has to say it in the positive and in the negative. If you do this, you'll have this and this. Otherwise, you will not. Because if it doesn't duplicate it, it's not binding. Whereas according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, it's unnecessary. Once you cite one half of the coin, the other side of the coin is automatically understood by implication. Says the Gemara on the fourth line, Bishleima, l'Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. So according to him, we can fully understand the pasuk, which is mentioned by the soita, by the married woman who was suspected of straying and being involved with another man, and the kohen, in advance of offering her the waters of the soita, imposes an oath, and he says like this. So the pasuk goes like this. Haynu d'chsev, the pasuk says, "Imloy shachavish oisach, v'imloy sotis tuma tachas ishech." If you're in fact innocent, you haven't gotten involved with this other man, hinoki, you'll be spared. Meloshen of noki, free, clean. You won't have, though, you know, you will not experience this grave consequence and punishment by way of these waters. So all he mentions is the positive angle. If you're innocent, you'll be spared. And he doesn't go into the negative side as well. Well, otherwise, you'll really experience a terrible consequence. He doesn't go into that. It's understood. Once he tells her about, you know, the carrot, there's no need to discuss the stick. That works well according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, who doesn't need a Tanai Kofel. We don't have to duplicate our presentation. Elo the Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, what happened to the other side of the coin? He has to actually stipulate it and verbalize it. We don't just rely on implications. The pasuk should have mentioned the negative side as well. You'll experience that death by sort of choking, by drinking those waters, if in fact you're guilty. What happened to that side of the story? You're right, says the Gemara. The Torah implies both. Amar Rabbi Tanchum, hey noki ksiv. You see, instead of writing it, hey noki, hey yud nun kuf yud, says Rashi, it's without the first yud, which implies that there's a drasha laden in this pasuk, and we read it as Chenoki as well, so we read it and apply it both ways. In a positive sense, if you're innocent, Chenoki, you'll be spared, but then we go and we say Chenoki if. And that's the next pasuk of Atki Satis, if in fact you're guilty, you'll experience the choking consequence. So now, Bishlam the Rabbi Meir. So that's very well according to Rabbi Meir, why the pasuk spells it this way, to indicate that there is a drush, there's a hidden meaning. This word has a double application. Haino d'chsiv, heinoki without the yud. Elo l'Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, lamali. So why did the pasuk in fact choose this form of expression rather than just speaking straight out and saying atichye or some other word Rashi says which would not need to be applied both ways? Says the Gemara Isrich, there is a reason why the Torah picked this lashon. Even according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, it's necessary. Saga de Tachmina, perhaps I would say. There are no terrible consequences for an isha that strays. Im lo yishachav ish, heinaki. If you're innocent, you'll be cleansed, you'll be spared, you'll walk away free. V'im shachav, but if the Torah would not verbalize the negative consequence as well, as per spelling it without the yud, which implies chinuki, if not for that, I would perhaps consider saying that there are no negative consequences. Im shachav, if in fact you were involved with this other man, you know what? It's not recommended, it's not great. Lo hinuki, you're not spared. Lo chinuki, you won't, you know, experience this terrible death. Ela isura ba'alma, you've committed an isser. Or according to Rosh Hashanah's Gersa, yisurim ba'alma, you'll have hardships. You'll have some consequence, not as severe as we expect. That's what I would think. Kamash Malon, that's what the Pasuk stresses, Chinaki. No, there are severe consequences for this type of misbehavior. So even according to Rabbi Chanina, we have to express it clearly. Otherwise, it wouldn't be known. It wouldn't be understood. Continues the Gemara on another topic. Bishlemi l'Rav Meir. It's all well according to Rabbi Meir, who requires duplication and repetition. That's why in the Parsha, Parsha's Chukas, when we speak about the cleansing process brought about by sprinkling the waters of the Paraduma, it says it like this, both ways. If in fact this fellow experiences the sprinkling of the Paraduma waters on the third and the seventh day of his Tumah, he will be cleansed. And then the Torah mentions the flip side. If he does not have this experience, he will not become tar. It's necessary to go through both sides of the coin. Why go through both sides? Just express one aspect and have the other side just implied. Istrich, there's a need. Perhaps I would say. Mitzvahs hazom bishlishi ubishvi. You know, preferably, you do the Hazoah twice, on the third and on the seventh day. But you know what? Maybe it's only lichatchila. But it's not critical. You don't need both for Tahara. Ve'echad ovad b'chad minayu ovad. Perhaps just having one of these, third or the seventh, is sufficient. Bidi evad. Kamash Mulan comes to Pasuk and says, no. Not only am I recommending it, it's critical. Otherwise it doesn't work. Now, why does the Torah have to repeat? This is a kasha on everybody. Why does the Torah have to repeat this whole thing again? Istrich, there's a need. Perhaps I would say that these numbers, third and seventh, are not, you know, critical. Although we spoke about third and seventh, it just means like this. Shlishi, when we say third, lamut sheni is opposed to day two, which is a bit too early. Or when it says shvi, not day seven, lamut shishi, as opposed to day six, the kamimayit, pimei tahara, because ultimately he's lessening. He's trimming off from the required days. So basically he's doing it prematurely. On the second instead of the third, on the sixth instead of the seventh. That's why it doesn't work. But let's say he rearranges the days a bit differently. Avalecha da'avad b'shlishi u'b'shmini. But suppose instead of doing 3 and 7, he does 3 and 8. Perhaps that's even better. The kamapish b'mei tahar, because he's prolonging his cleansing process. Maybe that's even better. Emer shaper dami. Perhaps that certainly works. Kamash mon. That's why the pasuk has to repeat it. No, when I say 3 and 7, I mean exactly 3 and 7. No changes. There's another pasuk. V'chitoi b'yom ha'shvi'i. So he gets cleansed on the seventh day. Lamedi, what's the point of that repetition? Istriach, there is a point to it. Perhaps I would say, when do we say that you need the double application of the Paraduma? That's only with respect to your involvement in Karbonis. Avala Truma, but let's say he just wants to, you know, touch Truma or eat Truma. You don't need Paraduma twice on you. Bechad na misagya, perhaps one experience is enough. Kamash Mulan, no, says the Pasuk. You need the Paraduma applied on the third, on the seventh. It's critical. And that's the only cleansing process, whether it's for Kachem or even for Truma. Continues the Mishnah. Makadosh is a Isha. A fellow is Makadosh in Isha. And he says, look, Vamar kosover hayisi shei kehenes. I was figuring that she's from a Kayan family. That's what I thought. It turns out that he's mistaken. She didn't mislead him. He misled himself. Varei Leviya. He discovers that she's a Leviya. Or the other way. Leviya. I thought she was a Leviya. Veharehi Kehenes. It turns out she's a Kehenes. I thought she was Aniya. She was poor. That's what I wanted. Turns out, surprise. Veharehi Ashira. She's wealthy. Or I thought she was wealthy. Ashira. Veharehi Aniya. He discovers she is less than wealthy. In all these cases, Harizim Kodeshes, it works. You know why? She did nothing wrong. She didn't mislead him. Rather, says Rashi, Elahu hita esatzmoy. He misled himself. And therefore, it's his issue. Rashi continues, since he failed to verbalize his intentions. Lav kol kimina, he has no power to negate this process. Why? Despite the fact that he was thinking, but he didn't say it. Dahavalu dvarim shibalei, these are unexpressed verbals, unexpressed verbalizations, things that he was thinking and feeling. They're not committal. They don't affect the process. Continues the Mishnah. Ha'ira li'isha, a fellow approaches an isha and he says, Harei at mukadeshas li, la'achar she'ez gayr. Interesting. This fellow is a non-Jew who cannot do kedushin with the Israelis. But he says, look, here's the ring. You're mukadesh to me when it's going to be applied after I convert. So he intends on becoming a gayr. I want it to be activated at that point, at a later date. Or, we're going to have many such variations, la'achar she'ez gayri, or she's pre-gayrus. Here is the kedushin, which will be chal and activated after you become a ger. La'achar sheshtachrer. Suppose he's a slave. I want the kedushin to take effect after I'm set free by my master. Oy la'achar shetishtachreri. Or addressing a maidservant, he says, look, here's the kedushin, pending your release. Or other examples where kedushin cannot work right now, but he wants it to be chal at a later date. La'achar shiyamas baleich. After your husband passes away and you become unmarried, I want the kedushin to happen then. Or la'achar shiyamas achoseich. Or after your sister passes away. Basically, this fellow was married to Rachel, and now he approaches Leah and he says, look, after Rachel passes away, I want you to be mine. La'achar shiyachleitz lechivameich. Or she was a yavama. Husband died without kids. She's awaiting the chalitza from the yavam. Until then, she cannot marry. Rashi says, we're going with the Shita that Kedushin cannot be Teifis, cannot be applied to a Yavama from a stranger. So he says, look, here's the Kedushin, pending Chalitza. And all these, we say, Enam HaKadeshes, it doesn't work. Why? Says Rashi, Dahavale Dvarim Shalei Bo Lo'ilam. It's an unrealized situation. Va'achshev Ein Biyadei Lekacha, in its current form, in his current or her current situation, kedushin is not feasible. It's davar shelebel olam. It's not yet here. It's not yet practical. So you can't commit. You can't activate a process on something which is not realistic. V'chein, another example. Ha'yom lechaver. Reuven approaches Shimon and he says, "Im yolde ishtecha nekeva, harizim mekudeshesli." If your wife gives birth to a nekeva, she's mekudesh to me. Once again, it doesn't yet exist. Eina mekudeshes, it doesn't work. And the Mefarshim tell us to skip over to the Gemara. Tanan Hosam. We have a Mishnah, which is a Mishnah in Meseches Terumos, based on the premise that Teruma and Maser only applies to produce which had been picked off the ground, as opposed to something still growing in the ground. There's a Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos as to why this is true. Rashi learns because the Pasuk says, Reishis deganecha. You meant to separate from your dagon, from your crop. Dagon is grain, something which had been picked and piled up, took on a grain form as opposed to something still growing off the ground. Tosfos learns it's based on a pasuk. Mi menu, you meant to separate mi menu from that thing which is detached, and that's the source of this halacha. So either way, we're working with a premise that you cannot take something still attached to the ground and consider it truma. Says the Mishnah, Ein Torah min min atolosh ala mechuber. So he has some stuff still growing, mechuber, and he has some stuff off the ground, and he says, look, I'm going to use this as truma for that, for the mechuber. It doesn't work, because you cannot be mafers truma on mechuber. It's not yet, you know, chayim in truma. Vim Torah, if he did so, Ein Torah, truma doesn't work. Here comes a shiloh. In this regard, Ba'imine Rav Asi, he asked the question, Mi Rabbi Yechanan? What if a fellow gets up, Amar, and he says like this, Peiros aruga zu telushim, you know, the produce of this patch over here, which had been picked, Yehi yu truma, should be considered truma, on what? Al peiros aruga zu mechubarim, on the other patch, which is still growing off the ground. Or the other way around, Peiros aruga zu mechubarim, the crop growing over here and still attached, he or truma should be considered truma al peres aruga zut lushim on something else which had been picked, But I don't want the truma to happen now. I know, I'm aware of the fact that you cannot be mafresh teruma on something that's still growing off the ground. I want it to take effect when it's going to be picked. So you're stipulating it in advance, knowing full and well that the activation will only happen when it's picked. Or Rabbi Kibbeig on the side points out, you could have, for the same money, you could have said, I want the mechuber to be teruma on the mechuber, and again, with this stipulation, with this addition, likeshe yitolsha, when it's picked. And in fact, that's what happened later. It was picked. It was detached. It was cut off the ground. Vinitlashu. Mahu. Question. Does the truma happen right now or not? And Rashi says, the question is whether it happens l'mafreya, retroactively. His original hafrasha, does it take effect or not? Amrleis Rabbi Yechanan responds with a boom, bam chiddush. Kol shebe yodei lav mekum chusher et ma'aseh dami. Although it had been growing, it was detached and not eligible for truma. But since it was be yodei, Rashi explains on the bottom line, kol hai shebe yodei lit ki hai shebe yodei litlish ulahafresh miyad. It's within his ability to affect this transformation, to pick it off the ground, to cut the weed off the ground. It's within his biyadai to do so. Lav ki mechuser maser dami. We don't view this item as being mechuser maser, severely deficient and incomplete. Basically, what we're saying is, since he could have very easily picked it off the ground, it was in his control to do so. So he has the ability to activate a process on this item pending its picking, pending its detachment, because he can do it. So therefore, the truma works. Eisve. So how does this halacha pertain to our sugya, to our mishnah? Because he had a kash on Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Asi responds to Rabbi Yechanan. You're telling me something which is within your reach, is considered within your grasp and within your control, and you can manipulate it even at this early stage? Eisve. Ha'imer le'isha, our mishnah. He tells an isha, Riyat Mekodesh Asli, right? La'achash is gayer. La'achashet is gairi, right? All those cases. La'achashet is shtachr. La'achashet is shtachrari. La'achashet yom is balech. La'achashet yom is achayseh. Right? We had all these cases. La'achar shiach leis lechi v'amich. In all these cases, we say, no. It's an unrealized dream. It's not yet here. It's not yet tangible. Eina mekudeshes. Now, bishlei mekul, I understand that most of these cases are not biyada. He can't control them. Lav biyada. You know, he can't divorce, have this Ish divorce, he can't, you know, have her husband die, he can't be Megayer, right? But there is one case that is within his control to change. Ela ger, have a biyada. He can decide to become a ger right now. That's called biyada. So if the only problem is that he's not yet a ger, that's called biyada. Why can't he make a kedushin pending his gerus, which he can bring about? Answer the Gemara, not so simple. Ger nami la biyadai. It's not biyadai. He needs a whole bezin to cooperate. Perhaps he'll need a lot of arm twisting and cajoling to get the bezin to trust him and to go along with his gerus. We need three dayanim to officiate during this gerus. Rashi explains we need it for the tvila. We need them to inform him of some of the mitzvahs. Tesis disagrees. He says you need the three dayanim for the mitzvahs, but for tefillah it's only lechatchila, it's not mi'akev. But either way, he needs the cooperation of the bezin. My time of why, says the Gemara, mishpat ksiv be kedin. We have the lashon mishpat with respect to gerus. The pasuk says mishpat echad yilachem kiger keezrach, says Rashi. So we find mishpat in relation to gerus. Mishpat ksiv be, it's like a din, like a din Torah, kedin, like a bezin. And therefore, mi yemar de mezdake kulei hanitlos. Who says he's going to find these three dayanim to cooperate? And therefore, it's not called biyadai. It's not in control. And therefore, davar shalei bala ilam. It's not a realistic and tangible, equation. Says the Gemara. Okay. Gerus is not biyadai. What about the following case? Maske flora of Abba bar Mamo el miata. If you're telling me that anything that's biyadai is considered like it's here. Elamiata anisim pruta l'shiv chasa. What if a slave master turns to his maid servant and says, "Here's a pruta. Va'amar hariat mukadeshas li la'achar she'eshach re'reich. Here's your condition, which will be chal, which will take effect after I release you. And that's in his hand to do. That's biyadai. It's in his control. Hachanam adab kedushin. Are you going to suppose that it works? Says the Gemara, not necessarily. You know why? Hachi hashta. You can't compare. You can't ask that. Hasam meikara behema hashta das acheres. A shivcha is so different. It's not just a slight change of status, change of ownership. It's a totally new creature. Initially, the shivcha was like a behema. She was considered a possession of her owner. Whereas after shichra and release, she turns into a totally new entity, an independent being. It's a drastic change of status, and Rashi says, Hilkach, Ein mechusar ma'as agadol mizeh. True, he can affect that change, but it's a totally new entity. And therefore, it's unrealistic to initiate a process for the free woman today to have started that process when she was still a behemoth. She was still considered a shivcha, like a shor or a chamor, a possession of her owner. She was a totally new existence. Now she's a totally new existence, totally different existence than the previous one. So you can't apply kedushin to her as a shivcha and have it activated later when she turns into a new being. So it seems like, you know, the guy turning into a yid, a gerus, is a slight, not as a severe and drastic change as an eved or a shivcha going free. So over there we suggested that if it would be biyadai, it turns out that it's not biyadai because you need the bezin, but otherwise we would consider biyadai sufficient enough to activate a process at that early stage pending gerus. But here by the shivcha, it's a totally new existence, unconnected, unlinked with the previous existence. Continues the Gemara. Ve'elohu damar ve'ishi. Okay, so what about Rav Ishi's question? What happens if a fellow gives a pruta to his own wife? He's married to her, and he says like this: Hanoisim pruta liyishtoi. Va'amar li tells her, Hariat mekadeshes li la'achar she'egarshich. He's currently married. Here's your kedushin after I divorce you. So I want this kedushin to be applied after I divorce you. So Rav Ishi says it doesn't work. Why? Because because she's right now married. So this kedushin has no value today. The only value it could have is if, in fact, he divorces her and she becomes an unmarried woman. So now the condition can... That's called davar shel ba'olam. It's an unrealized existence. It's not yet here. It's something down the road which doesn't yet exist. That's Rabbi Yishai's halacha. Question. What would Rabbi Yechanan feel about this case? Hachinami l'Rabbi Yechanan da'ava kedushin. So would you say, would you propose that according to Rabbi Yechanan, who established this wonderful principle, kol shebiyadoi, if it's within your hand, within your control, if it's in your hands, lav kimechusar ma'aseh, we deem it like a reality. So in this case as well, hachinami l'Rabbi Yechanan da'av kedushin. Why? Because he can be megarisher, right? It's biyadoi to be megarisher. So if it's biyadoi, we see it as reality, even today. And therefore, he can apply a kedushin for that post-divorce state. Answers the Gemara, no. You know why? Nihi de biyada legarsha. I understand that he has full control over divorcing her. He can do that. But he can't force her to remarry him. Biyada legarsha. Biyada legarsha. Biyada legarsha? Question mark. Biyada legarsha? Sure, he can divorce her. That's biyada, but he can't force her to remarry him. So that doesn't work. So even Rabbi Yechanan would agree, you can't affect this process, you can't trigger this kedushin to be applied post-divorce. Continues the Gemara, Tifshu Debar Rabbi Yeshu. So based on this point that it's not biyadei to be mekadesher at a later date, it would appear that we can provide clarity on Rab Oishia's question as well, which was as follows. Hanoisin shtei prutis isha. A fellow approaches an unmarried woman and gives her two rings, two prutis. A double deal. So she's not married, so she's eligible for kiddush. But instead of doing one kiddushin, he does a double kiddushin. One for now, one for later, post-divorce, if he decides to divorce her. Ba'achas. When giving her one prutah, he tells her, Amarla yisgatcha liv hayar. This is for today's kiddushin. Ba'achas. And the other one is for the other kiddushin. Amarla yisgatcha liv la'achas she'gan sheikh. That's for a kiddushin which will be applied only after I divorce you. Tifshet minu delav a kiddushin. So perhaps according to our earlier assumption, it won't work in this case as well, just as in the previous case, because you can't control that eventual kiddushin. It's not biyadei to get her back, so you can't activate a process for that today. Is that so? Is this scenario similar to the previous one? No, says the Gemara. Perhaps there is a distinction. Dilma, perhaps. In contrast to case number one, a married woman who cannot have kiddushin today. So there we say, well, you can't be mekadesher for the future because of that reason. But here it's different. She is currently unmarried and eligible for kiddushin today. So perhaps you can sort of make a bundle deal, a double kiddushin. Dilma ke'eche tafsi kiddushin hashta, tafsi nami l'achar kein. She's willing to go through this process with you. Perhaps you can do it. It's not called Dovar Shloi Balaylam. She's willing. She's a willing partner. And she's right now not married. So perhaps you can make a double kedushin. Right now. One for today and one for post-divorce. So it's not clear that it doesn't work. We're not sure about that. In any case, Tanya Kavased Rabbi Yechanan, we have a writer, Rabbi Yechanan, who says, Kol Shebiyadai, something in your hands, Lav Kemuchasar Masadamim, we don't treat it like it's, you know, lacking in reality and tangibility. It's here. And you can activate it, and you can do truma, you can do kedushin, and have that applied when, in fact, you make that change, because it's in your hands to make that change. Tanakh Vasid Rabbi Yechon, we have a right to that concept. From a brice, a tesefta, mesachas trumis. Ein ter min menatol shalom achubur. One may not do truma from something picked off the ground and apply it to something that's still growing. Vim toram ein truma se truma, and even if it's done, it doesn't work. Ketzad. For example, Amar, he says, peiros arugazu, right, these peiros, solution, which have been picked off the ground, yihu truma, al peiros arugazu mechuberes, should be truma on the ones that are still growing, or in the reverse. Peiros arugazu mechuberes, the one that's still growing should be truma. You truma al peiros arugazu tlushin on the ones that have been picked. William Arklum, well, it doesn't work, as we explained before. Aval, but if he stipulates that it's only going to be chal when I pick it, when I cut off the wheat, avalama likeshe yitolshu. And in fact, he did it. Vinitlushu dor kayamin, it works. That's the right to Rabbi Yechna. That although in concept you cannot make truma, you cannot be mekadesh an isha, you can't do any sort of transaction with something that doesn't yet exist, with something that's not yet in its proper format. However, if it's biyaday, if it's within reach, then we see that as reality which you can manipulate. Continues the braisa, but there's another shita. Yosr al kain, furthermore, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. You see, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that you can make a kinyan, you can be mekadesh, even something which doesn't really yet exist. Adam makne davar shele b'loilam. This is a totally new shita. See, our Mishnah and our Gemara until this point was based on ein adam makne Dovar shelo b'olam. You can't make a kinyan on something that doesn't yet exist. Rabbi Yochanan came up with a new concept, a new exception to the rule, which is kol shebiyadai. If it's in your control, we see it as a reality. But now we have a totally new shita. Rabbi Zeman Yaakov holds like that. I'm going to see tomorrow Rabbi Zeman Rabbi Meir holds like that. You can apply kinyanim and processes to things that don't yet exist. How do you do that? Because, you know, you can commit yourself. It's a shibud. It's a personal commitment to give you or to sell you or to buy. Even though the item doesn't yet fully exist, the personal commitment suffices to activate that process. So it's a brand new approach, a brand new shita. Yasser al-Kain, Amar Blazaman Yaakov, Afilu Amar Peros Arugazu Talushin. Even if he points to produce off the ground, and he says, these should be truma, you truma, Aperos Arugazu Mukhaberos, on things that are still growing. Or in reverse, Peros Arugazu Mukhaberos, you truma, Aperos Arugazu Talushin. And here's the cash. Likish of you shlish. We're speaking about, you know, grain, tvua, which has not yet reached even a third of its growth, hasn't achieved shlish of its growth, which is the, you know, the minimum threshold for it to be considered tvua with regard to truma. So it's still very young, almost grass. And he says, look, I want to start the truma process today and have it applied when it reaches that, you know, threshold of a third. Look, shavi your shlish, be your toshu. I want the truma to happen then when it becomes a shlish and it, you know, gets off the ground. And that's what happened. It grew and it was cut off the ground. Be your shlish, v'nitlashu. So the original commitment, the original truma works, dvarav kayam. Why? Because, again, according to the shita, you can make hegdish, you can make any sort of process, even at that early stage. Now, how early in its growth process can you make this sort of commitment? How underdeveloped can this tvua be and still allow for the truma to happen? Amar Rabba, loy amar b'lezman Yaakov el b'shachas. Even he would agree that, you know, you can only do this truma process when it's already achieved shachas, its shachas stage. Meaning it's not yet a shlish. You don't see the developed kernels, but, you know, it's already called shachas. Rashi says you can feed it to the animals. It's, you know, it's animal food, and therefore it has some sort of significance, some chashivas. Rashi says, midi de minkar v'chashivu. It's already discernible. It's already partially grown. It resembles tavua, okay? Ava ba'ag, but if it's merely like just young grass, which has no relation to grain, loy, of course you can't apply truma at this early point. That's Rabbi Shita, and Rabbi Yosef takes it a step further. As long as there's something there, it's enough. Rabbi Yosef, Amar Afilu Ba'agam, even that can be designated as truma according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So you can activate it, you can commit now and activate it, you know, later on. But even Agam is sufficient to receive this designation. Agam is that grass, right? My mashma, where do we find the high agam, the lashon, the word agam, lashon, the butzlanahu, is describing this sort of grass, which, you know, slowly rises off the ground and bends over. Lashon, the butzlanahu, amar v'laz, the makro, the pasas ha'lokov, ka'agman reishay, to bend his head like this thing that's bent over. So we see that agmoin describes something soft, pliable, and bendable. Okay, so again, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov maintains you can commit even at this early stage because you can do a kinyan and a hegdish on davar shloi baloilam. How early in the game? Well, according to Rabba, it must be at least shachas. According to Rav Yosef, even younger than that, even just in its grass form. Now, kaman asla hadasanya. We have a brisa, and we want to know which shita does this brisa match up with. Ha'imel chaveri. Reuven approaches Shimon. Im yolda ishtecha nekeva mekadesh esli. Right? If you have a girl, she's mekadesh to me. Lo yomar klum. There's no kedushin. because it's loy balaylam. It's pre-existence. Varav chanina, but Rav Chanina comes and adds a point to this halacha. In some cases it works. If it's already discernible, it's already somewhat an entity of existence. Loyshanu eloshein ishtim uberes. It doesn't work only because his wife is not yet pregnant. Aval ishtim uberes, but she's already pregnant. Dvarav kayyam, the condition can work. Why? Because even though it's loy bala olam, it's not yet a real existence, but according to Rabbi Yaakov, a process, a commitment, a kedushin, a kinyan can be applied even on something which is not yet a reality. So according to Rabbi Chanina, the fact that she's muberes changes the equation. Says the Gemara Kima. Ikarabo kashuhukar ubra. Ikarab Yosef afabishalahukar ubra. So basically, we're assuming that Rabbi Chanina is following Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that you can do a kinyan on davar shloi b'olam, and therefore we say that if it's already somewhat in existence, even though it's not yet a reality, you can make a kiddush. But the question is, how discernible, how advanced does the entity have to be? So it depends. Come on. Ike Rabba Kishuka Urbra. If Rabbi Chanina is in line with Rabba's interpretation of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, then just like Rabba required the Tevuah to have reached its Shachas stage, where it's really something that resembles true grain, here as well, Hukar Urbra. The Uber, the fetus, has to be discernible and noticeable. And since it achieved that, you know, that advanced stage, already arrived at that point, it's sufficient to make the kedushin. But if it would be less than that, it would be undiscernible, then it wouldn't be considered a reality with respect to kedushin. However, Ikar Rav Yosef, if Rabbi Chanina would in fact follow Rav Yosef's interpretation of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, where he said even if it's agam, if it's just in its grass form, it would be enough. Afa vishloiko ubra, so in this case of the isha, even if the uber is not yet discernible, that would be enough to make a kiddushin. It turns out that she was muberes, the kiddushin is chal, even though it's not yet advanced to the point that it's discernible. So basically, we're lining up Rabbi Chanina with Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. And we're matching up the concept, just like by the Tevua, according to Rabba, it needs to be in its more advanced stage in order for it to work here as well. You need Muberes. According to Rabbi Yosef, it's not necessary. V'ikadamri, here comes version number 2 of Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, which is a bit more machmer. All agree, you need some form of reality. It has to resemble, in the case of the Tevua, it has to resemble grain. Amar Blazer ben Yaakov, even Rabbi Elazar would agree that it has to be Shachas, Elabes Shachas. And which type of Shachas? Elabes Shachas, the Bei Kivsha. It had to have achieved the stage of Shachas. That's the, you know, animal feed. So the grain had to have advanced to that, to at least to that stage. And it has to be Shachas, the Bei Kivsha, growing in a Beis HaBaal, Rashi says, Shadayi B'megishamim. You know, some fields have to be watered manually, otherwise they dry up. In some cases, you're lucky and the rainwater is sufficient. So if this shachas is growing in a naturally watered, you know, rainwatered field, then, you know, it's pretty certain that the shachas will develop properly and won't dry up. So in that case, we say it's enough of a reality which allows for truma and allows for the process to be applied. Aval b'shachas to be shakuloi, but if the shachas is growing in this field, it has to be constantly watered. There's no knowing how this thing is going to develop, and therefore, it's not yet here enough. It's not yet a reality enough, and even kodrelez in Yaakov, you can't deal with it. Rabbi Yosef Amar says no. Once it achieved its shachas state, whether it grows here or there, it doesn't matter. Afilu b'shachas to be shakyo, even if it's growing in this manually watered field, it would work. And now, let's go back to the case of the mulberries. Kiman ozla hadasanya. So what about the brisa? I'm rochaveira. Yim yodish to chanekeva, right? If your wife has a nekeva, mukadesh lishis, mukadesh to milam, rochum, it doesn't work. Vamar chanin rochanei tells us loyishano l'sheinish to mulberries. When doesn't it work? She's not mulberries. So there's nothing to talk about, right? Avalish to Muberes, but if it turns out she's Muberes, so there's something to talk about. Dvarav Kayomim, the Kedushin gets activated at that point. So now, question. How would Rabba learn this halacha? How would Rav Yosef learn the halacha? Kiman. Kishuk Ubra of Divrei HaKoel. So either we're speaking that the Uber is noticeable. Sorry, so this is a statement. Kiman, kukushoku ubra b'divrei HaKoel. It must be, and according to Rav Chanina, the ishtum uberes is not enough unless the uber is noticeable and discernible. B'divrei HaKoel, and this jives with both shittas. Both Rab and Rav Yosef require some sort of noticeability, some sort of tangibility. Just like by the grain, you need at least shachas. All agree, just in its grass form, agam, is worthless. It's not enough of a reality to speak of. So all agree you need at least shachas. The question is what level shachas? A more secure shachas? Even a less secure shachas? But all agree it has to be discernible and something of a reality. Likewise, in muberes. All would agree, both Rabban and Yosef would agree you need to be muberes. And hukar ubra to allow for kedushin to be applied. Okay, so in summation, we started with Tanai Kafel, we had some kashas from various psukim, why the Torah had to mention both sides of the coin. We explained it according to Rab Meir and according to Rabbi Chanina Gamliel. We proceeded with the Mishnah, various cases of Davar Shaloi Bala Oilam, you can't make a conclusion on that. Rav Yechanan's Mechadish, he introduces this new concept called Kol Biyadoi. If it's in your control, then we treat it as reality. We had several variations of that halacha regarding a shivcha, regarding gerushin and kedushin. Proceeded with Rabbi Zevni Yaakov Shita that even a davar shloi bel oilam, completely non-existent or almost non-existent, can undergo a halachic process like kinyan and kedushin or truma, but even that has its limits. We had two versions. In version one, Rabbi says, well, regarding the grain with respect to truma, it has to have at least a shachas form. Agam is not enough. Rav Yosef says even agam works. In version number two, all agree agam is insufficient to allow for truma to be chal. You need shachas. According to Rabba, a more advanced form of shachas, more secure form of shachas. According to Rav Yosef, even a less secure form of shachas works. Now, regarding kedushin of an ishum uberes, do we need hukar ubra or not? Does it have to be discernible or not? So according to the first version, it's totally in the machlekes Rabbi and Rav Yosef. According to Rabbi, it has to be discernible. According to Rav Yosef, it doesn't, just like the grass. Whereas according to version number two, all agree. There has to be some discernibility, and therefore by the isha muberes, the condition will only work, even according to Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, when it's hukar ubra. All the best to you and hatzlacha, Rabbi.